We're going to be in Luke chapter 12, please. Luke 12, as we look at and continue to look at the fear of the Lord and seeing why we should fear and what we should fear. A great promise in the Word of God is that God will bless them that fear Him. And we read that last week. And so notice, as we jump to the New Testament a little bit here, Luke chapter 12, it says, in the meantime, when they were gathered together in innumerable multitude of people, so much that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. Notice verse 5, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Fear him. Why do men not fear God? And we looked at this, but they just simply reject the Almighty Creator God, don't they? They deny him. Now, as we continue in the fear of the Lord, we see the Lord teaching. This is to encourage the disciples not to fear the Pharisees. Notice the context there. Do you know the biggest problem that usually most of us have is the fear of man, isn't it? We fear man. We fear people. We fear other kids, if you're a kid. We fear other adults. We fear coworkers. We fear maybe a mom or dad, a grandma, a parent, somebody in your life. And we got to fear God. We know, and we said last week, that when I fear Him, God, I will fear nothing else. There is the emotion of fear, obviously, that we ought to be careful and cautious of in all of that. But we don't fear people. We don't fear man. It's not that we're pompous and proud and not scared of anybody. No, you know what I mean. That we fear Him, God Almighty, only. We don't fear other things. What keeps you back from being the Christian you're supposed to be? It's fear. What keeps you back from being the witness you're supposed to be? Me, fear. What keeps me back from being what I should be for the Lord? Fear. And we come back, do you fear the Lord? And now he's saying now, listen, and he says, beware of the Pharisees with their hypocrisy. And he says, don't fear man, but fear him. Now, we read Proverbs 29:25, but it says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. It's a trap. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Walking around worried about the next snare or trap that you're going to fall into. The next trap you're going to get caught up in. Well, that's the fear of man. And we see here, he assured them that they were very special to him. He watches over the little sparrows, he says, in verse 6 and 7. He takes care of them. He pays the most minute attention to every detail of our lives. He says, even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Proverbs 19:23 continues and says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that hath it, the fear, shall abide satisfied, shall not be visited with evil. Do you want to be satisfied in life? I know I do. Satisfied. You ever been somewhere and you're not satisfied? Go to a restaurant, went to a restaurant just a while back, paid a lot of money for a steak, and I was not satisfied. You eat it and you go, this is not cooked right, this is not what I ordered, or whatever the case is, and the mashed potatoes are a little bit cold and this asparagus, ugh. Anyways, you just kind of get rid of that. But those things, you're not satisfied. He says here, notice, when you fear God, you'll be satisfied. You ever been around satisfied people? You know they fear God. The primary purpose of fearing God is to keep us from sinning. Let me say that again. The primary purpose of fearing God is to keep us from sinning, isn't it? We fear God and we say, oh, I fear God, I don't fear anyone else. But that keeps you from sinning. That keeps you from wandering out. A man who leaves his place wanders out. Not where he's supposed to be. Now, again, as we see this, that God desires for each of His children to live in a obvious, holy, righteous state of being. We know that already, but we need reminding of it. Exodus 20, listen to this in verse 18, he says, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your face, that ye sin not. He came to prove them, he said, with all the lightning, smoke, and thunders. the other night. We were outside in a massive, man, a lightning strike. A bow. And you wait about 1, 2, 3 seconds, and here comes a boom, just filled the sky, thundered down. And everyone cowers. The kids do. If you have a dog or cat, you know, they cower, and it's the fear. Animals have more sense than we do sometimes, right? But you think, that is just one small lightning strike and thunder. Can you imagine the power of God today? And yet man does not fear. And he says, I've come down to what? Prove you that ye sin not. Ye sin not, Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Well, I can handle it, we'll say. I'm fine. I can dabble with this sin and I'll be okay. No one will find out. You're messing and thinking about the wrong person. He will find out, right? He'll figure it out. He knows what's going on. Now, thinking through all of this, we considered some reasons already. Why fear God? Well, one, because of who He is. He's Creator, He's Savior, He's Judge, He's absolutely holy, and He will judge every human being who's ever breathed on this earth one day. Everybody. Everybody. He's Judge. He's Judge. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch upon the evil and the good. There's no creature that's manifest not in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4:13. Because of who He is. Secondly, because of it's the only place of safety we looked at. Safety is found in the Lord. We begin to see our true condition. We begin to see who God truly is. We choose then, out of our own will, to repent and believe on Christ or reject Christ, don't we? We choose. We make the decision. But why fear God? Because it truly is a place of safety. He saves us if we'll allow Him to. Our fear of the Lord then changes from just being afraid of Him to a proper reverence, a profound adoring, an awed respect of Him. A process begins which helps us move from obeying God because we are afraid of Him and the adverse consequences, to obeying Him because we want the personal rewards, to obeying Him simply because we love and want to please Him. Now that's a mark of spiritual maturity. We move past being afraid, oh, I don't got one God to punish me. I don't want the consequences of this sin that I'm about to do, so I won't do it. Two, no, I don't want to do it. Why? Because I love the Lord and I want to please Him. I don't want to mess around with that sin and be disobedient and be all of those things. Why? Because I love God and want to please Him. I want to do what He wants me to do. So we saw that. Samuel came to the people, as you recall. The nation of Israel, they said, Samuel, we want a king. Give us a king like the people around us. And Samuel says, you don't need a king. God's your king, right? They said, no, we want a people. And he says what? He makes this statement. Only fear the Lord. Only fear the Lord. Only fear the Lord. They rejected that. And they turned and desired a king and a kingdom and a monarchy, which later destroyed them. But he says, only fear the Lord. We see here. Now let me say thirdly, why fear the Lord? Because it's the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. It's the true beginning of knowledge and wisdom. We find out throughout the book of Proverbs, and I won't read all of the verses because there are so many. But he says in Proverbs 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They despise it. They hate it. Listening to a biography just the other night of a very famous person. But he began and he rejected the authorities in his life. And he said, I want nothing to do with that authority. I want nothing to do with those people. I want nothing to do with how they are trying to direct me and lead me and help me. And he ended up, you know what he did? He ended up overdosing. He died in his 20s. Sad. Had everything, all the money, all the women, all the cars, everything you could ever want, all the fame. And he wasted it all. Wasted it all. Why? He rejected the authorities in his life. But notice what he says. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 4 and verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Proverbs 9 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. You can tell usually within the first 5 minutes of a conversation with somebody if they fear God or not, right? They have wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Doesn't mean they're a genius, but they have wisdom. They have common sense in a lot of ways. Spiritually speaking, Psalm 111 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. When you do the commandments of God, you have good understanding. When you do the Word of God, you perform the Word of God, you're above the average person. Light years ahead. Knowledge abounds today, you know that. But what kind of knowledge? You want to find something or look something up? All you got to do is talk to your phone. You got to be careful. The other day, you got to be real careful. You say the name of the, where's, I won't say it. It comes, how can I help you? You know. And what did you, my wife asked the other night, she said, said the name and then said, are you listening to what I say? And when she said, yes, I am, or something, and it's creepy, you know. Have you ever been scrolling through your, you were talking a conversation with someone and then you start scrolling through your phone later and it brings up all these things about what you're talking about and you're going, okay, that was weird, you know. And that's what you can find information all over. Knowledge abounds today. You just got to Google it. You just got to look it up or just speak. Now, this is a great indication of the end of time or the time of the end as it's described in Scripture. Daniel 12 and verse 4 says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Notice, and knowledge shall be increased. Knowledge. Knowledge on any given topic. Anything. Back in the day, you had to go to the library and research. Remember those days? Or you had to go to the school library. The teacher would give an assignment. You got to do this research paper. You go to the school library and you get all these books together. And it was the worst, horrific thing you'd ever done in your life. And you're going through the Dewey Decimal System. Remember that? No, I'm just kidding. I love the library. And you go through the whole thing, you know, you pull out a little thing. Okay, there it is. And then you find this. And you got to go. Now today the kids just look it up in 5 minutes, don't they? They got 15 different things. Knowledge abounds today. And knowledge, you think about, this is the world's knowledge. And Daniel prophesied thousands of years prior and says, knowledge shall be increased. However, wisdom, which gives us understanding and insight into how to best use this knowledge, cannot be gotten from the internet, cannot be gotten from the world. We must come to God and His Word to find the true wisdom. You know, James puts it that way, and he says, James 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and give it to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given unto him. God will give you the wisdom you ask for. Why do we not have wisdom? We don't ask for it. We don't desire it. We don't look for it. But anyways, because it's the beginning of knowledge and wisdom, true wisdom, true knowledge, the fear of the Lord. Lord, I fear you. Show me what to do. Show me. You know the opposing wisdom that we have in Scripture. There's the wisdom that's from above, and there's the wisdom that's from beneath. I won't go through all of these because we've been through them before, but you know that. There's a lot of it given, and again, coming back to the book of James as he describes most of that. Can I say fourthly, because of how it affects our behavior, talking about the fear of the Lord, our behavior. Fearing of the Lord keeps us from sinning, as we said in Exodus. Exodus 20, verse 20, Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you. It causes us to guard our tongues. It causes us to depart from evil and do good, to seek peace and ensue it. He says in 1 Peter 3:10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. You know why sometimes you're miserable and you don't feel very well emotionally and you're constantly having issues and you're upset? And all? It may be your own mouth. Maybe your own tongue. It causes us to guard our tongues. Evil means injurious. Guile means subtlety. Deceit, craft. James puts it, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know, a loose tongue is evidence of vain religion. He says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, what? This man's religion is vain. That word vain means empty, profitless, unfruitful. There's a lot of people that are saved, but they have an unfruitful life. They're unfruitful. No, look at this. It affects our behavior. We fear the Lord. Now notice a loose tongue must be yielded to the Lord. Psalm 39:1, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I'll keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Psalm 141, verse 3. A bridle. You ever tried to put a bit and bridle in a horse? It's one of the hardest things to do, isn't it? Can't get it in there. They don't want that thing in their mouth. And you finally get it shoved up in there. Got to watch out so they don't bite your fingers off. And then they get it. And then you can do what? You pull the rein this way. They turn this way. Pull it this way. They turn this way, don't they? That's what it does. And he says here, notice, we ought to keep a watch over my mouth with a bridle. The Holy Spirit has a nice way of saying, don't open your mouth when you want to open it. Don't say that. Well, I'm going to say it anyways. You know, don't do that. Just yesterday, I have to confess to you people, I was working outside and I managed to get a whopping 2 posts into the ground. Okay. And in that process, I did use one foul language. Okay, I messed up. I'm kidding. But I said, and I wanted to say something. I went, oh, better not say that. Oh, you ever been there? You want to say something. And the Holy Spirit says, don't say that. Don't do that. Don't say that. We say, well, Lord, I know better than you. I have control of my mouth. Now, again, coming back to the fear of the Lord, affecting our behavior. Notice that it causes us to depart from evil, do good. Your parents tell you to do something and you walk away and you say something behind their back. Right? Be very careful. It causes us to depart from evil, to do good. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Why do you stop sinning? Because of the fear of the Lord. Why did you stop living a wicked lifestyle that you lived? Wicked. And I lived very wicked. Because you realize that God is judge and He's going to lay down the law in your life, and you're scared to death, literally. I'm scared. And I realized that sadly later in life, but that I don't want to go to hell. I just don't want to go to hell. I don't want to end up in a burning eternity forever. Lord, save me from that. And God says, I'll save you from that. And then He says, I want you to change some things in your life, Tim. And I said, okay, I can do that. It was very difficult. Some of you have tried to quit something that you were very addicted to or enjoyed doing. Very hard. It's very difficult. And the Holy Spirit comes in and He gives you the peace and gives you the help and the power to overcome those things. But you quit. Notice, depart from evil because of the fear of the Lord. It changes our behavior, and it ought to change your behavior. And shame on you as a Christian, and shame on me if we go back to those things that we once and used to do. Oh, so convicting, isn't it? Going back to it. You've lost the fear of God. Depart from evil because you fear God. Love Him. Do good because you fear God and love Him. Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I don't work for my salvation. That was paid by Jesus Christ. But I do need to work. I do need to work. I do need to show people that I am saved. I do need to show people that I am different. Not pompous and hypocritical and pharisaical, no, but I need to show people that there's something different about me and my wife and my children. There's something different about that. Sadly, the case, it's not that way. But notice, seek peace, and He says, pursue it because you fear and love God. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You do more tearing down to people than building up. You do more discouraging to people, to your sister and brothers, than you do building up and helping and encouraging. Ooh, we need more people like that, myself included. He says, build up and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. Belittling people, you know, because they don't know how to do something they've never done before, because they're just learning how to do something. We belittle them. Make them feel bad. You're a fool. You're a ding-dong. All those things, right? You don't know how. Patience, kindness, put away malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why did I put up with that bozo, the clown? I ain't putting up with him. And the Holy Spirit says what? Because I forgave you, Tim. Because I deal with your disobedient heart. Notice He says, James 3:17, again, it's from above. That wisdom that's pure is from above. It's peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteous is sown in peace of them that make peace. The fruit of the righteousness sown in peace. We seek to please. We seek to please one. Whom do we fear? Well, it ought to be Him, seeking to please the Lord, seeking to please Him. So again, let me wrap it up with this last one. Because of who He is, because of the place of safety that it gives, because it's the beginning of true knowledge and wisdom, because how it affects our behavior, And can I say, fifthly, because it delivers us from all other fears. Now, would you go to Psalm 34 with me here real quick? Psalm 34, as we wrap it up. And in Psalm 34, it delivers us from all other fears. Psalm 34, again, a psalm of David. He says, I will bless the Lord at all time. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. All my fears. I sought the Lord. Because it delivers us from all other fears. David, in this scene, many believe that as he was running and hiding and had a lot of problems going on in his life, didn't he? He came and he said, Lord, I fear. He had a lot of people coming after him. This poor guy came from the backside of the desert to become the anointed king, and yet his life was not easy. And you can be the anointed one of God and your life can be a wreck, right? Internally, you have peace with God, but outside, you have all kinds of problems. He had Saul coming after him, who was his protege or his mentor. David was his protege after him. He loved Saul, looked at him as a father figure, but Saul turned on him, betrayed him, stabbed him in the back, tried to kill him. And then once Saul died and became king, what happened? Well, all kinds of issues came. His own son, Absalom, came and again stabbed David in the back and came after him. David had a lot of issues. But David said here, Lord, when I sought you, when I came after you, when you heard me, you delivered me from all of the fears that I have. When we get saved, we move from just being afraid of God to that proper reverence, as I said before, a profound adoring, an awed respect. We see that there's no fear of having to go to hell now that you're saved. No fear. That was something that would burden my heart many a night as I thought about that. You know, if the world is right and this is the only life we have, we've lived in a phenomenal life. I mean, blessed beyond measure. 3/4 of the world today live in abstract, utter poverty. They're not just wondering, what are we going to eat for lunch today? They're not just wondering, I wonder if I can pay my rent tomorrow. They're wondering if I can feed my little babies with some rice and maybe some goat's milk or something. That's 3/4 of the world. And we sit here, and you have umpteen $1,000s in the bank account, whatever it is. You think about that. And you see, right, that this world is all they have to offer. We die. We have nothing else. We just rot in the ground. Boy, we lived a good life. But listen, if the Bible is right, and there is a God, and there is a judgment, there is a hell, there is a heaven, we better get with the program. We better figure things out. Now, today, you dear people, I believe, are saved, most of you. And you think about, we no longer have that fear. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. John 3:18, he says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's not your sin. It's not the bad things you do. It's your unbelief that will send you to hell. That's what's going to send you to hell. He says, those that believe not. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No more. Let me say there is no fear of going to heaven. We know that. We have in Hebrews 2:14, he says, for much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who are through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. We are confident to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, Paul says. We're confident. And you don't need to fear that. Philippians 1:21. Me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So there's no fear of going to hell. There's no fear of going to heaven. There's no fear of man, as we said. Verse number 6 of our text, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You won't get so many people preach today and believe that when you get saved, all your problems go away, don't they? They dissipate. No more problems, no more pain, no more issues. That's the furthest thing from the truth. In fact, you get more problems. Once you turn over to Christ, more attacks. I can't, just for some reason this last week, I've had tremendous spiritual warfare and attack in my life. I don't know if you folks have been, I know you've had, many of you have as well, just tremendous. And just burdened and all kind. And then I stopped and the Lord helped me yesterday and He said, there's a lot of things going on right now. You're making big strides and decisions, right? Aren't we? The Lord is blessing us with this church and we're getting to make some big steps. And anytime you take a step for the Lord, there's the adversary right beside you. What is he doing? He's trying to trip you up, isn't he? You take one step, he's there trying to trip you, trying to shut the door in your face, trying to do all these things. We got to be careful and aware of that. But again, we see there's no fear of man. There's no fear of these things. There's no fear of being destitute. Notice verse number 9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Any good thing. Isn't that wonderful? There's no fear of being destitute. He says in Psalm 37:25, I've been young and now I'm old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God will take care of you. God will take care if you trust him and love him and serve him. He'll take care of you. You know, you have ambitions, and all of us do, to make money and do a lot of things and be successful. We truly fear God and trust him. We will not be begging bread, if you will. There's no fear of that. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I like that. Need, singular. Need. What's your current need, right? Well, Lord, I have a list of needs. I need you. No. What is it right now that you need, Tim, to make the next step? To be faithful to me. Now let me say lastly here, and I'll hurry, because of the quality of life it brings. The fear of the Lord brings a quality of life. Again, we said it tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, shall not be visited with evil. We find the key to pleasing him is in the fear of the Lord. We please him. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and in those that hope in his mercy. The steps of a good man, they're ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord upholdeth him with his hand. He won't be cast down. He won't quit. A true child of God doesn't quit. We'll have sinful things and problems hold us back from time to time and spiritual warfare and all that, but we don't quit. We keep going. That's a true child of God. We're called not to be suckling babes. We're called to be what? Soldiers of the cross. And that's what many people misinterpret and miss in the scriptures. We need to be soldiers. As we find, the key to pleasing him is the fear of the Lord. We find everything we need for life, everything we need to obey him and please him. It assures us of God's great mercy. Oh, God's great mercy. Assures us of God's goodness and blessing. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Psalm 31:19. It dispels, lastly, the want of life. The want. Oh, we want. He says in verse 9, there is no want to them that fear him. If you're like me, I want a lot of things. I have a list of stuff that I want. I want. I want all of these things. And he says, when you truly fear the Lord, you have no fear of that. You're content with where you are and what you have, and you trust the Lord, and he'll provide all the things that you need. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. I love that. It's such a blessing. Now, do you fear the Lord today? I know that you do. But a good reminder for us, a refresher for us, that it ought to change our behavior. It ought to change who we are. It ought to change what we are as a human being. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Why? There's been a great change since I've been born again. There's been something different in me. And you ought to see that there's a true, healthy fear of God. When you feared your parents maybe growing up, or your grandparents, or whoever you had in your life growing, you feared. You fear the consequences. I don't want to do that because there's consequences to that. As you get older, you realize, hey, wow, they did that not just to have pleasure in spanking me. Did you ever wonder if they just laughed when they spanked? Oh, I enjoy spanking these kids so much. No, when you spank your kids, it grieves you, doesn't it? You go, ah, I don't want to do that. You realize now that what? That fear of them kept you out of a tremendous amount of problems, tremendous amount of trouble. That's what God says. God says, I'm not here to beat you over the head. I'm not here to hover over you. I'm here to show you my love, and I want you to obey me, that I can use you. And Tim, that your life would be prosperous, your life would be successful, and you would have no want, no more want. People today are drinking alcohol and taking pills and having all kinds of illicit relationships. Their life is a wreck. Why? They're looking for peace. They constantly want, I want more, I want more. Again, I said that I heard this biography of a famous individual, and he said, if I had it all to do again, he said, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. You mean have everything the world gives you? Fame, riches, popularity, money, anybody you could ever imagine you could have with just the snap of a finger? And he says, if I could do it all again, I would go back to being just a kid back from the backside of nowhere. Unknown. Nobody knows who I am. That's what I want. That's the world. And the world deceives us. And the adversary we know is a deceiver. And you don't listen to him this week when he tells you you can't do it. You don't listen to him when he tells you you're getting in over your head and you don't know how to do it and you're going to fail if you try and invite them to church. You're going to fail if you try and share the gospel. You're going to fail if you get up and try and make a consistent time in the Word of God every day. You tell him to go back where he came from and you run to the Scriptures and you get the power of God in your life and plead for that. Again, fear the Lord. Why? It's great, great, great success. And there's great peace that comes to them that fear Him. You don't fear man this week. There's going to be a lot of opportunities to fear individuals, isn't there? Someone's going to threaten you, or someone's going to say something, or you're just going to have thoughts or memories of things of the past, and you get real anxious and uptight. You don't fear that. That's the adversary. That's your flesh. You come back to the Bible and say, Lord, bring my thoughts back and my heart back into line with You, because I only fear You. I fear only You. That's what Samuel said. Only fear Him, and you will have what you need in Him. All right, I'll stop there this morning. Thank you for coming and listening so well. Lord, we do thank You for the opportunity to share Your Word this morning. What a great blessing it is to know You as our Savior. And I thank You for these people being so patient. I thank You for them being so faithful. And Lord, again, as I said already, but we're not here for any other reason, I truly believe, but because we love You and we want to obey You. And being obedient to Your Word, You said, forsake not the assembly. And Lord, we come today to hear the Word of God. Although, Father, not from the best of lips and not from the best of a human being, but Lord, I've sought You this morning and I prayed and asked that You would anoint me and fill me with Your Spirit and guide me and use me as a vessel. And I pray something said today would be a help and a blessing and encouragement, maybe a conviction for us. We love and thank You to see what You're doing and ask that You'd guide us and help us. Lord, lead us as we step ahead by faith. We know it's not without adversaries. We know it's not without spiritual warfare. We already are experiencing that. But God, it is You are in control. We believe and know that we're on the winning side. And we can go forward. Help us to stay in our Bibles this week, because that's our source of power, to come back to the great promises of God. Fill us with Your Spirit. We love and thank You once again in Jesus' precious name. And amen. Amen.